Today's daf is daf Kuf Aleph. So we got to the very top line of Kuf Aleph. The two dots there, Shutaf Nar Zesa, referring to the case of the river came along and washed up some guy's olive tree and landed in another guy's field. So the Mishnah told us that Shutaf Nar Zesa V'nasam L'toch Sadeh Chaver Zeomer Zesi Garlo Zeomer Arti Garlo. The guy says, well, it's my tree that moved into your property, so the olive should be mine, the olive oil should be mine. And the other guy said, well, it's my property. So the din was Yachloku. So the Gemara explains how Amar Ula Amar Reish Lakish Lo Shano Ela Shenekru Begushayin Ul Achar Shalosh. This is only true if it had been uprooted with some of the dirt connected to the tree, and after 3 years. Look at Rashi explains Shenekru Begushayin Im Hakarka Shesivosayin. The ground that's around the tree that was uprooted, Sheyachalun Lechayos Ayyado, it could still stay living. Ptur min arla, because the halacha is if you the first 3 years, of course, the fruit is also, that's arla. So let's say you replant a tree, that count starts again. But if it gets uprooted with enough of the karka around it where it could really be self-sufficient, so then the arla doesn't start again. You have it, you could still eat the fruit. Kitiznan, he quotes a mission arla, ilan shenekar vasela imo, im yachol lachayos, if it could live on its own pater, nimlav, chayv, it has to restart the count of 3 years of arla. So this is if it comes along with some of the gushayan. And la'achar shalosh, Rashi explains, after 3 years, kolomer afilu nekru begushayim lo shanu di yachloku. There's no din of yachloku, elo la'achar shaloshanim. After 3 years, sheshatu nahnar, where the initial olive tree owner was able to eat it. Shilu natan mitchila balkarka, because if the balkarka were to plant it now from the beginning, below gushayim, without the karka, would have replanted it, kfar yatu achshav michla harla. There would be no arla left. Hashila mahani le gushayim de balazesim midi la'achar shalosh. Okay, so it has to be where it's after 3 years, and where the owner of the zayis tree, the olive tree, he was able to eat it. But aval, the Gemara says, besoch shlosh, if it's within 3 years, hakol shel bal hazesim, everything is actually of the bal hazesim. Why? So Rashi says, aval besoch shlosh gushayim de bal hazesim hu de kashari luhu vakol shlosh. So again, the first case is after 3 years, if he's claiming, if the olive tree is in your property, it moved to your property, and 3 years later, you want to have the food, we say yachloku. So that's when we say yachloku. But it's within 3 years of moving, so then the halacha is, since the gushein is mine, it's not the bal hazesim, it's only permitted because of my food that's still connected. But if since it's within three, had you replanted on your own, started new, you couldn't eat the first 3 years. So again, my tree with gushein goes to your property. The first 3 years is all mine because it's only eating because of the gushein, the karka that's connected to the tree. After 3 years, where if you planted the tree anew, you would be able to eat from it. So then that's where we say yachloku, split all the olives up. Because the Gemara says, Damar Lei, he says to him, Iyat, I as the owner of the olive tree, say to you, it's in your property, Iyat, not das besoch shalosh, had you planted, besoch shalosh mihava achlis, could you eat? So too, within the first 3 years of my olive tree being living in your property, you can eat from this. So the Gemara says, wait a second, Malay, why doesn't now the Baal HaChatzer say to the Baal HaZesim, I ana natil achar shalosh hava achil nulei kulei hashtak achlis palgeva hadei? Wait a second, if I planted after 3 years, all of it would have been mine, it's my property. So now, since I let you eat half of it after 3 years, so you should let me eat half of it while it's in the 3 years. So Ella, ki osir rabbi namar Reish Lakish, the qualification was different. Lo shanu, this whole discussion of yachloku, lo shanu ela shenekru begushayin ubisoch shalosh, where the tree had been uprooted with the karka, so there's no din of arla, and it lands in your property, and within the first 3 years we say yachloku, we'll divide half and half. After 3 years of my tree being in your property, you get to keep everything. Why? You say to me, because you say, had you planted after 3 years, it would all be, you get to keep everything, so I should have no claim. So after 3 years of my tree staying in your property, you get to keep everything. The whole discussion of Yachlok was only within the first 3 years of my tree being in your property. So then the Gemara says, why? Lay Malay, why don't I, as the Baal HaZesim, say to you, the Baal HaKarka, if you planted within 3 years, you wouldn't eat anything because it's arla. Now that within 3 years I'm letting you eat half of it, the din is you can eat yachloku because it's carrying over the arla from my property. So then, bishum damar le, so why not say that? So why not say we just split the property in half? Just like la'achar shalosh, we have half. So to within three, I'm saying, just like Besoch Shalosh, within the first 3 years, we do Yachloku. We should do Yachloku even after 3 years. Why do you get everything after 3 years? So answers the Gemara, Mishum Amarle, because you as the Baal Karka say to me, I ant nate, had I planted, have a katina vizaronia tachtu silka viarka. Because had I planted, I would have done such a way, I would have planted different seeds and different grains and different beans and vegetables and stuff like that. But because your tree had been here and had all the shade, I couldn't plant anything in this area, you caused me some level of loss. So for that reason, I'm not willing to give up any of this stuff after 3 years. So Besoch Shalosh is where we do Yachloku, but La'acha 3 years, if it's been there for 3 years or more, you get to keep everything, because otherwise you would have planted your own stuff in there as well. Gemara now says, Tana, Amar, Hala, Zesi, Ani, Notel, Ein, Shomim, Lo. So let's say the guy says, you know what? This river had wiped out my tree and put it into your property. I want my tree back. I'm going in, getting a bulldozer and digging it up. I'm taking my tree out of here. Ein, Shomim, Lo. We don't let me go into your property. That's very strange. Why not? This is my tree. It just landed in your property. Gemara says, my time, Amar, Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum, Yishev, Eretz Yisrael. Because of Yishev, Eretz Yisrael, because we don't want to take away fruit trees and other settlements of Eretz Yisrael, we don't let you uproot the tree. So Amar, Rabbi Yirmiyah, Kigon, Da, Tzricha Rabba. Like this example requires Tzricha Rabba. Rashi explains, Tzricha Rabba, Sh'im lo parshi Rabbi Yochanan. Had Rabbi Yochanan not said this, lo hayinu omrim osav. So I wouldn't have said this in my own logic. But since Rabbi Yochanan said this, Mishum Yishev Eretz Yisrael, we listen to him and we say, you cannot take your tree back. You can only split the proceeds for the first 3 years, after which the Baal Karka keeps everything. The Gemara quotes a Mishnah now, Tanan Hasam. The Mishnah there tells us, the Mishnah appears in Maseches Demai. Now this has nothing to do with the Gemara we just mentioned. At the end we'll see how it connects. But completely different topic now. Tanan Hasam. Rabbi Yehuda Omer HaMekabal Sadeh Avosa Avstei Avosa Min HaNochri. So a guy accepts a field from his father's, from a Nachri. We'll see what Avosa means in just a moment. But he keeps it from a Nachri. So I right now have a Sadeh from the Nachri, and we're splitting up in half where any of the produce will split in half. I have to take Meiser V'Nosein Lo. I need to take Meiser, and then I could give him. So says Rashi, Meiser Tchila, again with the din is a Makabal Mechza. We took upon ourselves a deal between me and the Nachri, all the proceeds will split in half. So what does it mean, Meiser? So Rashi explains that techila kol tvua. I first have to take meiser of all the tvua. So let's say the tvua gives 100 grapes. I need to take 10 grapes aside as meiser. But afterwards, no sin lo nachi chelko. I need to give him his half. So I'm giving him 50 though. He deserves 50. It sounds like v'nimsa meiser mishelo al shanachri umafsid. I'm losing out because I take out 10 off the top. That's meiser. So now there's 90 remaining. I give him the 50 that he deserved. That's his chelek, and I get 40, so I'm losing out here. Or unless it perhaps means we're doing 10-10, we split 45-45. Either way, there's some loss that's taking place here. So that's what the Gemara says. You do a Meiser, Tchila, and only afterwards do you give the Chelek to the Nachru. So then the Gemara says, Svarua, the initial thought of this Mishnah is, Mais de Avosa, what do you mean the field of his fathers? Eretz Yisrael? Amai Karle Sade Avosa. Why is that the field of my fathers? Because it's Sade Avram Yitzhak Yaakov. So there are Avoseinu, so they're considered Sde Avosav. So we're talking about a property in Eretz Yisrael, that even though the Nachri has a certain chelek in it, there's still a chiv to take Meiser and all the produce, because Savar Ein Kinin LeNachri Beretz Yisrael, Lafgia Miad Meiser, that when the Goy buys property in Eretz Yisrael, that Kinin is not strong enough to remove the chiv Meiser. So even though we have a chelek, we have a shutzvis in this karka, there is a chiyah meiser. So I need to take meiser first. Ein kinin lenachri mafkia miad meiser. So mekabel kechocher. And the din of mekabel, when I receive the produce in half, it's kechocher dami. It's similar to kechocher, where I need to pay a certain lease per month or per year. What's the din? Ma chocher bein avid bein lo avid by yasurei. So the din is, if I lease a property, whether or not there's produce or not, I need to pay my lease. If I had a failure of a year, I still need to pay my lease. So ma chocher bein avid bein lo avid, whether or not the field produced fruit or not, by asurei umeting lei, I need to pay the chi parei chavasa dami. I need to pay the lease. So af mekabel nami ki parei chavasa dami meiser v'nosin lo. So too, it's as if I'm paying a chov. I need to take meiser and all the property here, because the fact that a nachri has a half ownership zamafkia the din of meiser. So that's what the Gemara initially thinks is going on here. Of it's talking about stay of osa of a stay sod the Eretz Yisrael. So then the Gemara says Amr Leir of Kana Leir of Papi Amr. Others say Amr Leir of Zvid Elahad Tanya. Now this brisa here seems to be problematic according to this understanding. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Hamakabel sod the avosav mimatzik. What's mimatzik? Rashi's matzik is an honest person who forcibly took a land, confiscated a land over from some other person. So if I'm a Kabbalah Sadev Osava, I matzik, nachri, a non-Jewish matzik, maser v'nosin lo. So I need to take maser, and then I give the maser, and I take it. So why, what's the difference, Gemara asks? My ir yamatzik, afilo ein matzik nami. Why does this Brisa specifically say a matzik, a guy who confiscated a property, a nachri? Even a regular nachri, even not a matzik, we saw above, that if I have a partnership with a nachri, so I have to take maser on all the produce on the land, even his chelik I need to take maser on. So why dafka a matzik? Sound like the din's not true. Rather, only by a matzik do you have to take maser. When it comes to a regular nachri who has a chelik, there is no din of maser on his chelik. So Elul Gemar says, you're right. Li olam, we're talking about a case, yesh kinin lenachri beret Yisrael. Lafkia miad maser. If a nachri has ownership on proper Eretz Yisrael, it would be strong enough to remove the chiyuv meiser. Umekabel lav kechocher dami. He's not like a chocher. Umay stei avosav. So why do you refer to this as a sada of his avosav? Stei avosav mamish. Mamish, it's his father's property that he split up. And there's a lididei who dekante rabbanan. We penalize him. The aidi dechaviv alei tve ve'azil mekabel lei. Because since we wanted to penalize him, because really the property here, look at Rashi. Rashi explains here, stei avosav mamish, v'anachri gozla mehem, the nachri stole it from him. Ulididei hu dekantzu rabbanan, they penalized him, the son, dekimle begaveh, the chacham understood, the aidi dechaviv alei, this property is very chaviv to the son, because that was his father's property. Lo mimne b'hachi melekab l'mechza, he's not going to refuse and not accept l'mechza. Really what's happening here is it's not really, you didn't do anything wrong here, it was stolen from you. There's no real penalty here. But at the same time, we want their meiser to be taken on the entire property because really it's the father's property. The Gazan stole it. So Gazan doesn't have a real kinin. So Mikra Din, there's really meiser needs to be taken on all the produce. So we say, since that's the Ikra Din, so we don't want to, we want the Jew to take the land back. So we say we want the land to be back to the Jew. We also want the Meiser to be taken because there's a Chiyuv Meiser because the Gazan doesn't own it. So we say the son has to take Meiser on the entire property. So, but according to Baraval Inish Da'alma, some other person, lo, if it's not your Stei Avosav, if you just have a deal with some Nachri that he may have stolen from another Jew, so he stole a lot of land from you and he comes over to me, wants to make a partnership with me. So I don't have to take Meiser on the entire property even though it's really owned by a Jew because he stole it from you. Why? Because they're concerned, if I have to take maaser on the entire property, I'm not going to go to the deal. I'm going to walk away. And it's going to stay in the hand of the nachri. But if it's the son, if I'm the son of the initial owner, so I'm not going to walk away from the property. The fact that they penalized me, I didn't do anything wrong, but the fact that they made me take maaser on the entire property, it's not going to deter me from taking part in this land because it's so chaviv, this is my father's land, I want to stay with it. So again, mikra din, there really should be a maaser taking place here. There really should be. But they're concerned if they invoke that penalty of the Meiser, people are going to walk away. But they weren't concerned that the son is going to walk away, so they did invoke the Meiser if it's the son, if it's the Stei Avosav. So Gemara explains all this. So my time, Akansu Rabban, why was the reason why they penalized the son? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kidei Shetei Barab Yado, in order that should be in his hand. We want to keep the land. Rashi says, Kidei Shetei Barab Yado, Sheyachsev Yiknenu. So eventually, now he's a 50% owner. Eventually, he'll buy it. When we talk Sheyiksha Lav HaMaiser, so eventually he's going to say, this Maiser is so, such a burden on me. He's going to Yitrach V'Yosef Adamim V'Yisal HaKanachim Yimenu. By that, he says, it's not worth me paying all these high costs. Let me just buy out my partner, buy out the Nachri, and then he's going to gain that land fully back to himself. So for that reason, we invoke the penalty of the full Maiser for the son. But a regular guy who's not a son, I don't care for that property. I just walk away. I have no connection to this property.
Does it encourage the son to buy back from the person who stole it from him?
Exactly. Yeah. He stole from his father.
Exactly.
So says the Gemara, exactly what you said. Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, kigon da tzricha rab. This requires a lot of explanation. Had not been from Rabbi Yochanan not said this, I would not have said this on my own. That's not really so fair. But anyways, that's what the Gemara says. And the reason why we brought this mission and this explanation here, because we said just before, the same structure, kigon da tzricha rabba. When Rabbi Yochanan said, my alvchi went to your backyard, and I want to pull it out, Rabbi Yochanan says, you can't. Once it ends up there, yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yochanan says, well, it doesn't make any sense. Kigon da tzricha rabba. That requires a lot of explanation. So that's the connection between these two pieces of Gemara. Barna says, Itmar, Hayor letoch sadeh chaver v'nata. You go into my backyard and you start planting shalom b'rishus. You start making a beautiful garden. I never gave you permission to do this. So what's the halacha? Do I owe you any money for making my garden look beautiful? Amar Rav, shamin lo, we assess the cost versus the gained value here. V'yado al tachtona, and I, as the owner, you didn't ask me permission. I pay the lower amount. If the cost is lower than the value, or the value is lower than the cost, I pay the least of them. Shmuel Amar, omdin kama adam roja litain besadeh zulinota. No, we look at the average guy. How much a guy is? Well, what's the going rate for a guy building a garden? And if the going rate's $100, you pay $100. So that's the difference between Shmuel and Rav. Rav says you take the lower of the two, the cost versus the value. And Shmuel says, no, whatever a person would normally pay is what you pay. So Amar Rapapa, Rapapa says, v'lo pligi, there's no machlokas here. If it's a field that would typically be planted in, so any regular guy would plant in it, so then we make the guy pay the regular price, the going rate. If it's a field that normally a person wouldn't be, but in the end of the day I did gain some hana, even though I didn't ask for it, and it wasn't really omed for that, so then Rav says you pay the lesser of the two between the cost and the value. And v'had Rav, that statement of Rav paying the least of the cost versus the value, it's la b'feirushit mar. He didn't say this explicitly. Ela michlolit mar. He said this as an inference. We inferred this from something he said. How? Dahu das l'kamid Rav. Once a person came in front of Rav, Amrle, he says, zil shumli, go assess the value. Amrle, lo bein, I'm not interested in him building my garden. Amrle, zil shumli, v'yado al tachtona, go assess it and the cost versus the value and give him the lower amount. Amrle, lo bein, I don't want this. So Lasof, in the end of the day, Chazia de Gadre v'kamantele. They saw that guy built a fence, a nice white picket fence around his garden. He was very interested in the garden. Amrle, now he says, Galisa daitach, now became clear to us, that you did like this garden that was made, the fact that you protected it with a fence. Zil shumle v'yada ahal yona. Now you go pay the higher amount of the cost versus the shavach because you do really want this. Now what we're inferring from this is, though, a typical case, Rav Paskins, you should pay yado al tachtona. That's what we're learning from this brisa. That's Rav versus Shmuel. Gemara now says, Itmar, hayorid letoch chorvasel shechaver. You go to a guy's property. It's a short area. It's an empty lot. So chorvasel shechaver. Ubanu shlomo b'shus. So you build a nice house, a building in his property without his permission. Amrlo eitzai vavanai ani notel. Now you say to the guy, listen, you know, I want my lumber back. I want my stones back. I shouldn't have built any property in the first place. Let me take it back. I'm going to destroy the house. So Rav Nachman Amar Shomerlo, you listen, those were his. He didn't have the right, he didn't make a deal in the first place, he could take his stuff back. Rav Sheshes Amar Ein Shomerlo, we don't listen to him. Once he built into the guy's property, he has to leave it there. So Mesive, the Gemara asks the question. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer Beishame Omer Mishomerlo, you do listen to him. He could take his wood and the stones back. And Beisil Omer Main Shomerlo, you don't listen to it. So Lema Rav Nachman Gedamer Kebeishamai. Does Rav Nachman passing like Beishamai that we say Shomim Lo, we let him keep his stuff? That doesn't make sense. Rav Nachman wouldn't passing like Beishamai. Hu damar ki hai tana. He holds like a different tana. Desanya Shomim Lo, divrei Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer. So he holds that you do paskin like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Rather, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says you are Shomim Lo. That's how Rav Nachman paskins. But Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Beishamai Omrim Shomim Lo, Beishil Omrim Ein Shomim Lo. So in the world of Rabbi Gamliel, Beishamai turns out to say Shomim Lo. But in the world of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, he holds across the board, you are Shomim Lo, you do listen to him and let him take his property, his rather materials out. That's how Rav Nachman lines up. He lines up with Rashba versus Beishamai.
What's this for?
Not to take it out? Let's see, once you built it there.
It's like the opposite of Tiferes Maharish.
I think the Gemara ends up saying on the Amud Beis. Let's see if I, in one second. The opposite of that, right. Yeah, the Gemara is going to...
The guy's saying, I'm willing to dismantle the house.
Yeah, I'm not sure the Svara... I mean, we end up passing that he's allowed to take it back. The question is, why wouldn't you? Why would you not be able... Why couldn't you take it back? The guy's increased value of the property?
Uh-huh.
Let's see. So the way that Muki Yosef explains it, because he was Kone as a Chatzer, but Kinyan Chatzer is my property. Now you left it here, and now I'm Kone, Alt Chatzer. You can't take it out of my property anymore.
He's squatting.
No, not the other way. No, it's my property. He wasn't squatting on my land. You built a house on my land. I now own your material that you left in my land.
I mean,
It's like the guy works on your house. He leaves all this extra material over there. Right. He doesn't come to pick it up. So now it's mine. He comes a few weeks later. He wants his stuff back. You left it here for a few weeks. I took possession of it. That's it. You're not squatting is where he would take my land away. Right. Here's where I take his what he left here. Kinyan chatzir. Either way, my havala, what's the bottom line? How do we paskin in this case? So Amar Rabbi Yaakov, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Bebayis Shomelo. In a house, we listen to him. He can take his material back. Besade Ein Shomelo. We don't let him take his stuff, his trees and flowers back in the field. Besade my time. And why don't we let him take his stuff back in the Sade? Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Because Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, once we like the property looks so nice, we don't want to destroy anything in Eretz Yisrael. Ikadami, others say a different reason, Mishum Chashad Ara. Once you start taking the stuff out and removing the trees, it weakens the land. So, my benai, what's the nafkamina? Ikabinai, chutzlarts. Chutzlarts, where there's no concern of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, so then we would say you can take your trees back, you can take your flowers back. But because Chushad Eretz Yisrael, Chushad Ara, of weakening my property, that's even going to be of concern in chutzlarts. New Mishnah tells us that Hamaschir, Bayis Lechaveir, a guy rents out his leases his house to a friend. During the rainy season, during the winter, you cannot take him out of the property from Sukkot till Pesach. He has it locked in for those 6 months. In this summer, so 30 days, you're allowed to kick him out. Gemara is going to explain what the 30 days mean. And when it comes to large cities, you have 12 months there. So, Rashi explains to Bikrochim, Shein Makom HaShvakim. These are places of the marketplaces, big active cities. Shakol Nimshachim Sham LaGursham. Vabatim Ein Mitzun Lischor. It's not easy to find property there, so you can't just kick people out right away. In the Krochim, it's very, very active. And Shneima, it's okay, that's Shneima Sarchodesh. Ubechanios, when it comes to stores, Echad Ayaros, Echad Krochim, whether it be small cities, big cities, Shneima Sarchodesh there, Yosef 12 months, because it's not easy to find places to lease space for stores. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Chanus Shanach Tomim V'Shotzvam Shlosh Shan. When it comes to a bakery, it comes to a place that's dyeing clothing, that you have 3 years. And the reason why is, because Rashi explains here in Chanios, you see Chanios, Shechenvani Makiv HaKafos, they have a tab, people owe them money. And the Makir, and those who he recognizes, V'Shon Mitzvah L'Shalim L'Yomim Rabim, he's like, pay me next week, I trust you. And Ukshimivin Lo Maosav Barnai de Pesach Khanasha Kifusham. They go back to this store and they pay back the money. That's what happens. If they move the storefront somewhere else, then they're not going to know where he moved. So therefore he has 12 months, you can't kick him out until you give him 12 months notice. And when it comes to the bakeries where they apparently allow people to pay longer, the tab will last for a longer period of time, they have 3 years of notice you have to give them before making them move. So Gemara wants to know, Gemara is going to explain the mission now, line by line. My shna yimos ha-geshamim, why during the rainy season you can't kick him out? Dechi agar inish beisav yimos ha-geshamim, agar l'chuli yimos ha-geshamim. When a guy leases the property for the 6 months of winter, he's leasing for full 6 months, so you can't kick him out. That was the intention of renting it. So Gemara says, yimos ha-chamanami, so too in the summer. Dechi agar inish beisav l'chuli yimos ha-chamagar. When I buy for the summer, I want a whole summer home. I don't want it just for a month. So why do we say for Pesach you could kick him rather for the Yimos HaChama, he has 30 days. But for the winter season he has 6 months. So Gemara says no. Ela b'Yimos HaGeshamim haynu taima shelo shchiach beisel megar. Because the rainy season people aren't moving. So you kick him out in the middle of December, he's no place to live, he's stuck. As opposed to the summer, people are actively moving and going, so then even though you kick him out in the summer, he'll find the apartment easily somewhere else. But Ema Seifa, look at the Seifa. The Krochim in the large cities, Echad Yimos HaChama, Echad Yimos HaGeshamim, Shnei Masar Chodesh. When it comes to the big cities, regardless of the season, you have a full year. Ilu Malalo Yimos Chiros B'Yimos HaGeshamim Mapikle. So let's say that year, the lease is up after a year, and it ends up being in December, somewhere in the middle of the winter, so you could kick him out. Vamai Halosh Chiyach Beis Lamegar. If we have this far, that it's true that people don't move in the winter, so if you kick him out in the 12 months and in the winter, you kick him out, he has no place to live. So the whole svar of this Mishnah cannot be because there's no place to live. That's not the svar here. So what's pshat? What's going on in this Mishnah? Amar Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda explains lehodia katani in giving him notice, fair notice when he's kicking him out. V'hachi kamar hamaschir bais lechaveiro stam. A guy rents a property, leases out a property to a guy. Ein yachal otzio b'yemos ha-gushamim michag var Pesach, ela im kein hodil shloshim yom mekar. You need to give him a 30-day notice for the entire season. The guy, again, rents it for the 6-month period until Pesach. You need to give him 30-day notice. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, lo dia katani, around half, more than halfway down the narrow lines in Rashi, lo dia katani, hanach shloshim v'yud beitz chodesh dikatani b'maslis. In those 30 days and 12-month periods in the Mishnah, lo dia kamar, to give him a notice. Shehamaschir b'ayis l'chaveh, a guy leases his house to a friend, kalu yimei schiros b'imos ha-gshamim. If the lease term ends during the winter, eini yachal otzia mishum d'lo shchicha bati. Can't kick him out in the winter, he has no place to live. Elam kain, unless hodia b'yumos ha-chama shloshim yom, unless you tell him in the summer, 30 days prior to the beginning of the winter season, which is 30 days before Sukkot. You say on the test of Avila Elul, he'll say in a second, test of Elul, give him 30 days, that by the way, in December, I'm kicking you out. That's permitted even during the rainy season. So again, he says, Shelo yarchiv lazman mi yishich lazmano. V'haynu mi tesvav be'elul, tzarach leodia shloshim yom kod mechag. You can mention 30 days before the chag, u'mimela shmeinan im kalolo. We learn from this, im kalolo yimei schirah. So, if the lease ends during bimos hachama, eina yachal leotzia ad shloshim yom mishiodio. V'im ba leotzia bizmano, tzarach leodia shloshim yom kod mezman. Ubekrachim tzarach leodia yud beis chavdash kod mishiyatso. V'im lo hodia lo yatsa ela notin lo kemishbat. Harisha. So again, you have to give him advanced notice. Okay. So the Gemara now says, where are we? Tanin HaMehach, the Braisa says the same idea here, that Kishamu Shloshim, when he said 30 days, Uchshamu Shneimasar Chodesh Lo Amru El Hodiyah, this is only referring to giving notice. Uchshem Shemaschi Yotarach Lehodiyah, just like the one renting a house out has to let him know, so to Kach Socher, the one renting it, Tzarech Lehodiyah, he has to also let the landlord know, that Malay I Odiyah Safat Tarachunia Masuna Be'inish Me'aliyah. If you gave me advance notice that you're leaving early, I would have found a very nice guy, a tenant, to stay here. So both parties have to give advance notice, to be fair. So Amar Rav Asi, Rav Asi says, Im Nichnas Yomechad V'imos HaGeshamim Eina Yachal Otzio Minachag Ad Pesach. So if one day of the rainy season goes in, in Nichnas Yomechad, you cannot kick him out from the entire rain season until the Pesach. V'ha'anon Shloshi Yom Kamar. We said 30 days, not one day. What's going on here? Halchi Kamar. Im Nichnas Yomechad V'imos HaGeshamim Mehani Shloshim Yom. If the 30 days one dips into the rainy season, then ain't a yachal otzio minachag ad Pesach. Meaning the 30 days, all 30 days have to be prior to Sukkot. If you give him the warning on Tes Zayin Elul, which means 30th day is going to be on Sukkot, that's not going to be a good enough warning. Even if one day dips in, it has to be 30 days prior, entirely prior to the rainy season in order for this hodiyah to be good, that you're kicking him out in December. Gemara now says, Amar Rav Huna im Bali Rabos, B'dimei marbe. If you want to increase the lease, you're allowed to. So in the middle of the lease, the landlord could say, wait a second, you know what, I'm raising the price here for you, I'm sorry. Gemara says, how could that be? Amar le Rav Nachman, hai linakte bekuvsa l'shavke l'glima. It's no different. You're really forcing him, that's in essence kicking him out. Rashi said, I'm not going to explain this, but you'll understand what I'm saying when you're reading Rashi. Rashi says, the last two narrow lines, ha nakte bekuvsa l'shavke l'glima hu. Harehu kochsa bebeitzim shalom. He's holding on to the beitzim. Ad shemaniach lo talis. So you're holding on to him until he's forced to drop the talis. So you do as well. By you raising up the rent, in essence, you're kicking him out of the property here. So how is that allowed? We said you can't kick out the guy from the property. It's a tricky way to kick him out. So the Gemara says, no, lo tzricha de ayak arbate. No, you can't raise a price without any reason. We're talking about a case where the market value, all leases were increased. So then you're allowed to. That's within reason. That's not considered forcing him out. That's just the general market. But to increase the value, to force him out, ain't a chanami, that would be us. Gemara says, pshita, it's obvious in a case, nafal lebesa, if the house falls down. So then the Amarlei, the maschir, says to the socher, lo adifta mina, you're no better than me, and I want to live here. Then you could kick him out. Meaning it's only, you can't kick him out without no surprises. But if there's a surprise, and now the maschir's house falls down, he has no place to live, so then he's allowed to kick out the socher. That was unexpected. That would be permitted. And a case, zavne or orse, or yahab matana, if the maschir sells the house, the building that he's renting out, or he gives it to a present, or he dies and it's inherited by his children. That case, Amrle, lo adifta megavra da'asus mine. So The Socher says, you can't kick me out. You're no better than the Masya. The Masya couldn't kick me out for no reason. So therefore, the Socher has the upper hand. He's allowed to stay even though they sold the building to another property. The new landlord doesn't kick everybody out. The tenants still stay in. So Klala Lebrei. So let's say his son becomes a chassan. Now he wants to give this extra house he had to his son, his new son, married. So Chazin, we have to see now. If there's enough notice he could have given the tenants to move out, so then he should have given the notice. And if he didn't give the notice, then he can't kick them out. But Elo, if the wedding took so quick, the dating took a few weeks, they got married the next week, and there was not enough time to tell the socher, then Amrelelo Adifta Mina, you know better than me, that my son has no place to live. It's as if my house fell down. So then you are allowed to kick out the socher. So these are different scenarios where you would be allowed to, or perhaps not be allowed to, force out the socher. Hahu Gavra, the Zavan Arba, the Chamra. A guy once bought a whole boat of wine. And lo ishrech duchta lo sivne. No place, no factories, no warehouses were open to leave the wine. So Amr Leih Halahu Yisra. He saw one woman, wealthy landlord there. Ishrecha duchta lo ogri. She had an open warehouse to use to store the wine. So Amr Leih, so she says, lo, I'm not willing to rent it to you. So Azil Kotche. So he said, no, let's get married. So they got married. Yav Leih duchta laila. So, and very nice wife. She opens up the warehouse doors. He brings in all the barrels of wine. So now the guy goes back home. And Kasalei Gita, he says, write to get in Shadda, send her get. He says, Shanei, she says, she just hired some workers. So she hired the workers and used this wine that was now lying in her property to be a former payment to these workers. So Amar Rav Huna says, Braid of Yeshua, Kasher Asa, Ken Yasa lo Gemulo Yashiv Rosha. Like he did, she did back to him. You did this to me, you messed me over, I'm going to mess you over. And Lomi Boy Chatzit de Lokai Malagra, needless to say, because now that they weren't married anymore, it was a property that wasn't normally rented out, so she had the right to remove the stuff from the property. Ela Filu Chatzit de Kai Malagra, even if it was a warehouse that she would normally lease out, so maybe you should say, she should hold on to the lease now, or at least let him keep the stuff there. No, Amalei, she has the right to say, L'chuli Ama Nichali Logrila. I'm willing to lease to anybody I want. Lecha, to you, you guy, whatever you fill in the blank. Lo nichli, I'm not interested in that. The dami salah, you're like to me, ki arya arba. You're like a lion on my property. Get out of here. And she's allowed to remove the property from the premises. Okay, interesting story. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer kol shel nachtomim shel tzivam shloshanim. We said when it came to the bakers and the dyers, they have 3 years of notice you have to give them. Tana Bipnei Shekifin Meruba, because they have such long caps and people take a long time to pay them back, 3 years is a long time, so then they're able to stay in the same location to give him significant advance notice. The new Mishnah tells us now, let's hurry up, the landlord needs to provide, the door needs to provide an inside lock and a key for the outside to open it up. Anything else that requires a profession, he has to do all the fixing that's professional. Something that's not professional, then the socher could do it. He doesn't need a handyman. He could do it. He could fix the little things here and there. Anything that doesn't require real trade, the socher has to do. Hazevel shababais. Any of the, now that's my house, but there's a whole chatzir of the animals owned by the Baal HaBayis, the landlord's property. So all that devil, all that manure that's been created, that goes to the Baal HaBayis, the landlord. The only thing that a socher gets is any of the residue from the oven and stovetop. All those ashes he gets to keep, but the rest of the zevel that's from the property is being kept by the Baal HaBayis. The Tanur Rabbanan, the Braisha tells us, a maschir, he also needs to provide windows for the holes in the wall. L'chazik lo tikra, he needs to strengthen the ceiling. L'smoch lo korah, to hold up the beams. V'socher chayv lasos lo sulam. Now the socher needs to build a ladder or a staircase. Lasos lo maki, needs to build the fence. And lasos lo marzev, to build the drains on top. The gutters, there we go, And Latiach Hasgago, and in order, he needs to fix the roof as well. Place the, each season, place the tar on top to prevent any leaks. So, by Minei Rav Sheshes, they ask Rav Sheshes, Mezuzah, who has to place the mezuzah? Gemara tells a mezuzah, Ha'amar Rav Masharshim mezuzah chavas adarhu, the one who lives there. So the socher needs to place on the mezuzah. Ela makam mezuzah ami. What about the hole? They used to place a hole in the mezuzah. You've seen it in Eretz Yisrael. They won't put it on the outside. They drill a hole in and put the mezuzah inside the doorpost. So who has to drill that hole in? So the Gemara says, Amar lehu Rav Sheshes tanisua davar she'ein ma'isa uman ha'socher alseyu. V'hai nami la ma'isa umanu. This is not a professional act, drilling a hole. Anybody could drill a hole. So that the socher would have to drill the hole in. Who Efsher, who Begovsa. He's able to do this, and he could also hang up the mezuzah as well. There's an important Rashi and Tosi I'm not going to go into here. Begovsa Dekanda, he places it in a little tab, and he hangs it on the wall. That's where the mezuzah goes. The Machlokas Rashi Tosi here about how you position the mezuzah on the wall. Do you do it vertical, or you do it horizontal? And we do a slant to be machria between the two of them. Everyone had a wonderful day.